You're listening to the Legacy Church Podcast, recorded in Liberty Lake, Washington. For more information, jump on our website, legacychurchwa.com.
Come on. Good morning, good morning, good morning. How's everybody doing? That was kind of weak. How's everybody doing this morning? Come on. You guys have a good Christmas? You have a good Christmas? I had a good Christmas. I got a Nintendo for Christmas. I'd never play video games. Like, I'm the worst, but I've been playing my three-year-old in Mario Kart, and it's been life-giving. It's been really eye-opening that I'm competitive. I'm not the kind of dad that just beats his son. I crush him with everything that I have. You know, losers are losers, okay, and winners are winners, okay, in my family. We also celebrated my anniversary, 5 years, come on, 5 years. My wife is right here. Her name is Dallas, and she is smoking hot, first off, but absolutely incredible, and she keeps my whole life together, because I'm usually on another planet somewhere, and she just keeps me on Earth, you know? So, yeah, things have been good. Things have been good. We had a really good Christmas anniversary. My little brother's birthday was the day after Christmas. Then the day after that was my anniversary. So it's been busy. It's been busy, but it's been really good. I have a question for you this morning, though. Have you ever missed something? And I don't just mean miss it, but have you ever had the opportunity to do something, but because you made a decision, you missed out on something epic? I'll give you an example. It was Thanksgiving 4 years ago, and my old boss, he calls me from line in Best Buy on Thanksgiving. What is he doing? It was before they had opened it up. You know, now you go to Best Buy on Thanksgiving, and it's just open. It's not like you don't have to wait in line anymore. They're like trying to like make everybody a winner. Again, there's losers are losers and winners are winners, okay? And so he calls me. He's like, hey, man, I'm in line at Best Buy. Do you want to come join me in line at Best Buy? I heard they're giving away some TVs for crazy cheap. And he knew that I was in the market because I had a 42-inch Insignia TV. Has anybody ever heard of Insignia? Exactly. Nobody wants Insignia 42-inch TV, okay? So that's what I had at the time. And I just remember he calls me. Hey, do you want to join me? I said, well, where are you at in line? And he's like, well, I'm like 80 people back. And I was like, do you know how many of these TVs that they're selling? Apparently, there were 60-inch 4K Sony smart TVs, okay? They hadn't released how much the price was going to be. There was none of this information. They just said they had 50 of them, and while supplies last, each Best Buy will have these TVs. So he's 80 people back in line, give or take, and he's like, you want to come join me? And no, I don't want to stand out in the cold till midnight. I'm okay. You do you, Pastor Brandon. And so I said no, and then we were laying in bed kind of watching the Instagram story as he's like standing in line freezing, and you know, we're just like, I went to bed feeling really good about my decision. The next morning, I wake up to a text message from him. He got 5 4K 60-inch smart Sony TVs, okay, for $250 a piece. That's insane. Does nobody like TV in here, okay? Have any of you bought a TV before? Otherwise, you would know that is insane. 4 weeks later, spent $1,000 on a Vizio 1080p, not smart, stupid TV, okay? I missed it, and I was so mad. I was at Best Buy with my wife a couple weeks later, and I wasn't just mad at myself, but I was mad at my old boss, because he wouldn't sell me one for how much he bought it for, because he took them all, and then he sold them and made like $1,000 on each TV that he had, and it was good for him. But I missed it. That could have been me. That could have been me. Have you ever missed something because you made a decision you made the wrong decision, you missed out on something extraordinary? And that's really been my prayer as kind of I've been crafting this sermon together and thinking of what I wanted to leave you with today. I actually, fun free note, is I preached the first sermon of 2018. And I'm preaching the last sermon of 2018. Hello. It's not about how you start. It's about how you what? Come on. I'm just happy to be here. I'm super blessed. But hey, let's pray this morning, and then we'll jump into it. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, God, for the opportunity to partner with you up here, Jesus. Our prayer this year is that we don't miss something extraordinary that you have for us, God. We don't want to miss out on the opportunities. We don't want to miss out on the miracles, Lord. We want to experience everything you have for us in 2019, Lord. So may my words not be my words. May they be your words, Lord. May you anoint me to bring your word. May you open hearts to hear, God, what you would have for us. And we give it all to you, Jesus, in your name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. I think we have two types of people in the world. We have, well, yes, you've been listening. Come on. If you're taking notes, I can see that. We have livers. Let me say that again. We have those who live, okay? Got a bunch of chopped up livers. No, we have people who live and we have people who watch. People who live and people who watch. Our society today is flooded with watchers. Instagram, you have those people who are living, you're following, and then thus trying to live vicariously through watching them. You know what I'm saying? You have those people that are living, and then there's people who are watching. And I don't think there's anything wrong with watching. I love Netflix. I love Hulu. I love watching. I love getting inspired by people. But I don't want to be a watcher in 2019. I want to be a liver. I want to be one who lived in 2019. I'm going to say that like 12 times, so you guys just get ready. You know what I mean. And there's a passage in Scripture that really, I think, breaks it down. Because here's my prayer, is that we don't miss what Jesus would have for us in 2019. I want to live to the fullest in 2019. I don't want to watch the miracles. I want to live the miracles. And there's those who play it safe, and we watch the miracles, and all glory to God, and we see it happen. But man, oh, I want to live it. I want to live it this year. So if you brought your Bible with me, turn to Matthew 14, verse 22, and we're just going to jump right in and start it off. Here it is. And if you didn't bring your Bible, it should be right here up on the screen for you. Good, Caden, I love you. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples, oh, back up, context, here we go. So Jesus has just fed the 5,000. So we have the big miracle where he took the fish and he took the bread and he multiplied it. It was extraordinary. So all the disciples were just there. He just fed 5,000 people. Here we go. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake. While he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen up, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came towards them walking on water. So let's just set a scene. It's nighttime. You're on a boat. A storm is coming, okay? And all you've got really is moonlight and the stars. There's no electricity. And you've got these disciples who are fighting the waves. So when there's trouble on board, there's nobody sleeping on deck, okay? Everybody's up. Everybody's out and about, and there's waves, and there's running starboard, whatever. And then there's clatter, and there's lots of noise, and it's just chaos on the boat, okay? Picture painted. Now, let's continue. Okay, meanwhile, about 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came towards them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" So you got chaos, and then out, way out in the distance, other translations say they were way out, crossed. They're out there. Way out. Storm, and then in the storm, imagine moonlight, eerie music. And you just see this figure, like, way out in the distance. Jesus wasn't like right next to the boat, because otherwise they wouldn't have said it's a ghost, okay? So, unrecognizable figure out in the distance, freaking out, it's a ghost! Everybody now is just running around. Now we're trying to get away from the ghost. Don't let the ghost catch up to us. We're going that way, okay? But Jesus spoke to them at once, because he's Jesus and he knows what's going on. He knows when the waves are hitting. He says, don't be afraid. Take courage, I am here. You know, that's cool. Jesus, it would have been great if you were like, hey, it's Jesus. Don't worry, it's me, Jesus. But instead, he doesn't say that. Instead, he says, don't be afraid. Take courage, I am here. And so I'd imagine it didn't sound like, take courage, I am here. You know, like it wasn't that audible. There's noise. The other disciples are freaking out because it's a ghost. Okay? And it's chaos on board. Hey, take courage. It's me. I'm here. I imagine that's probably more what it sounded like. It probably didn't sound like this megaphone was on the boat. It's,
don't worry. I'm here. It's me. It is the Lord.
You know, that wasn't it. Then one of the disciples, Peter, the account picks up here at verse 28. He says, then Peter called to him the figure. He says, Lord, if it's really you, if it's really you, you don't say that if you're 100% certain who it is, okay? I don't look through the hole of my, the peephole at my door, you know, and my mom knocks on the door. I don't look through it and then see my mom and then go, Mom, if that's really you, knock five more times. You know, you don't do that. When you know, you know. When you don't know, you ask questions like this. If it's really you, tell me to come to the water, to walk on the water. Jesus says, yes, come. And again, I don't imagine that it was this really clear. Jesus is still out far enough away. And I have bad eyes, but I know that that's Bianca in the sound booth right now, you know. I can tell. So keep going, you know. Go to the police station, Bianca. And that's basically where Jesus, I'd imagine, was, way out in the distance. So, yes, come. Everybody's still freaking out on the boat. He's like, shh, shut up, Judas. I'm trying to hear. He's the only one you could pick on, really. You know, it's just like, it's a handout. Yes, come. If you're taking notes this morning, I think the first point we take from this passage is that if you want to encounter Jesus in 2019, you got to be willing to stop and listen. You've got to learn to listen. You've got to learn to listen. See, here's everybody else is freaking out. We're trying to keep the boat moving. There's noise. There's life. Here's what I'm saying. Life is going to get noisy. Life is going to get busy. There's going to be a lot of things you got to be pulling on. A lot of things you got to be moving. The waves are going to be crashing. And you have to know to stop and listen. You don't just need to listen. You need to know the voice of Jesus. You need to know the voice of God. See, Peter had spent a lot of time with Jesus. And I imagine that as everybody else was in chaos, he heard the echo of Jesus' voice bouncing across the water, and he stopped and he said, well, I know that voice. Not only did he stop, but he listened and he knew that it was God. When I was living in Seattle a little bit over a year and a half ago, I remember when I got the call from my dad. He called and he said, hey, I just want to let you know I'm going to be planting a church in Liberty Lake, Washington, and I would love for you to come out and be a part of it and help lead our worship portion. I said, wow, that sounds great, Dad. That sounds great. He was like, yeah, I wanted to talk to you about it. And so there was no real commitment on that phone call. I got off the phone. And first thing I did was I touched base with everybody who was on board the boat with me. So first thing I did, I started going to the guys that I was working with. Hey, man, will you, my dad just called me. He wants me to come be a part of the church. And my life was really, I full-time job, salary. I was also doing video stuff on the side. So it was busy. It was loud. There was a lot going on. I had a lot of things I was pulling on, a lot of things I had to do, responsibilities I couldn't just shirk off. So I'm going kind of everybody on, hey, man, youth pastor, hey, what's going on? Hey, what do you think about me going and joining my dad in Liberty? Like, ooh, I don't know if that's a good idea. Thanks, man. Thanks. Good input. Okay. Hey, what do you think? And so I got all the way down. I asked everybody, you know? Kind of while I was running throughout the things that I had to do in my life, kind of asking, hey, what do you think in passing? I called my dad the next day. I said, hey, Dad, here's what I think. I got a good idea for you. I think I'll be out there in 2 years. Gives you 2 years to kind of grow the church, and when you have an offer for me, a real offer, once you dial in some health benefits, why don't you go ahead and give me a call then? 2 years sounds really nice, Dad. And we got off the phone with him. He didn't say anything like, no, you need to come. You know, it wasn't nothing like that. And I remember we kind of got off the phone, and I just started feeling this check in my spirit because I kind of ran right back into the noise, moving, a lot of stuff I got to be pulling on. I got a lot going on in my life. And I realized I didn't stop and listen. And this is actually the passage that we were reading from, my wife and I, right before we made the decision to move out here. And we realized what I'm telling you right now is literally what the Lord was telling me exactly 1 year ago. Colin, you stop and listen. And so that's what we did. My wife and I, we didn't pray any extreme prayer. We just said, Lord, if it's you, there's definitely something in Liberty Lake. Can't quite tell if it's you, though. But if it's you, tell us to come. And one by one, my wife and I, we both heard the voice of God saying, come. Come. So we packed up our family and we went. We packed up our family and we went. We did have to discern something, though. See, I've had a lot of good ideas that felt like good ideas. Like the time I chose to stay inside rather than go wait in line on Black Friday. It was a good idea. A, I wasn't cold. B, I was cuddling with my wife. Hello. C, I got to not stand in line in the cold, okay? It was a good idea. The things that people were saying to me, they weren't pagan sinners for being like, dude, your career should actually, you kind of, if you look at the chart, you kind of just want to keep doing this. What you're trying to do is kind of like a this, you know? So don't do it. It wasn't bad, sinful advice. It was good advice. But it wasn't a God advice. There's good decisions, and then there's God decisions. There's good callings, and then there's God callings. And when you get out of the boat, and we're going to dive deeper into this, but the waves don't stop until Jesus gets on the boat. So it wasn't like Peter called out to Jesus, and Jesus was like, yeah, and then everything got glassy, and the sun came out, and birds were chirping. That wasn't it. So be prepared when you're listening to God. He's going to might call you into some storms, okay? And you're going to want to have full confidence that it's a God idea, because when the first wave slaps you in the face and you're like, I don't know, I'm going to pay that bill. You want to be able to look at your wife and not say, this was my good idea. You want to be able to look her in the eye and say, we're sent here by God, and this is his idea. If it's his will, it's his bill, and we're just going to keep on rolling with what he's got for us, okay? Come on. So Peter hears from God. He says, Colton. Oh, sorry. He didn't actually use any names. He's still mysterious ghost figure, okay? But he says, come. Now, Peter is left with a decision to make. And if you're taking notes, here it is. He had to let go. He had to let go. What do I mean, let go? I mean, he's got to let go of control. Peter is a fisherman. He loves the boat. He's known the boats his whole life. Boat is comfort zone. Comfort zone. But what he knew in that moment was, what got me here isn't going to get me there. And so there's some things that I'm going to have to let go of. There's this guy, Mark Batterson. He says this, if you want God to do something new in you, you can't keep doing the same thing. You have to do something new. And if you do, God will create new capacities within you. You have to do something new. Peter had to make a decision. He had to decide. Have you ever had trouble letting something go? Have you ever seen somebody that should have let go of something but didn't, and it ended up hurting them in the long run? See, God has plans for us to send us out into a fruitful life, and sometimes we just cling so tightly and can't let go. I think sometimes it looks something like this. Come on, bro, let go. Let go. Uh-oh, he's not letting go. Oh, let's play it back. Here it is again, slow-mo. Okay, so God's called him, somebody got his red shorts, okay? And come on, man, this is a good idea. There's great things out there. Uh-oh, he's disobeying. Uh-oh, back where he started, in pain. Okay, let's see. That is a little bit what I mean, okay? When God is calling us to let go, what is he calling us to do? We have to make a decision. What does it mean to decide? What does it mean to decide? It actually literally means to cut. To decide is to cut. You must cut something out to go in a different direction. Have you ever pruned a tree before? You notice that it feels kind of counterintuitive. Because here's this thing you've been watering, you've been nurturing, and it's growing, and it's full, and the leaves look good. And then somebody's like, yeah, but there's no apples, and that's an apple tree. You need to cut it. You need to prune it back. Sometimes you need to cut from the fullness of your life so God can increase in the fruitfulness of your life. You want to hear that again? Let me give it to you again, bro. It's right here. Sometimes you got to cut from the fullness of your life so God can increase in the fruitfulness of your life. For Peter, it was comfort. It was, I know the boat. It was, there's waves out there that I'm not so sure of. I don't want to have to let go of what I have. But here's what Peter had. He had faith, and he had a whole boat full of dudes that he was put there to be an example for. See, he had a whole lot of watchers with him, and he said, you know what? I'm living. I'm going to live. I believe it's Jesus because I know his voice, because I'm listening. Now am I ready to let go? So it goes like this. Verse 29, we'll pick back up. Jesus says, come, he said. There was the invitation. Then Peter got down out of the boat, and he walked on water and came towards Jesus. You think everybody on the boat told him it was a great idea? No, they all still thought Jesus was a ghost out there. They're like, you're tripping. Peace. Peace. Jesus gave a subtle call, has yet to reveal himself, gave Peter an opportunity for faith. And Peter steps out of his comfort, and he begins to walk on water. He's doing something that is not possible without God. It doesn't make sense if you take Jesus out of the equation. If Jesus wasn't on the water, he would have dropped straight down in there. He let go. Listen let go. And my final point is this. If we want to experience the miracles that God has for us this year, we've got to be ready to lean in. We've got to be ready to lean in. Lean in. And what do I mean by lean in? I mean, Jesus doesn't expect perfection. Jesus, here's what you got to understand about Jesus. He's a father. God is a father. He loves you. And if you don't understand the father heart of God, let me explain it for you. Because here's what happens. Peter got out of the boat. He walked on the water and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. Some of us, we're afraid to sink. When God calls us out into the impossible, we take a couple steps, and here's what happened. This is me. This is me. This is my story. This summer was the craziest summer of my life. I felt like I were out here doing the impossible. Look, this is the impossible. I've never seen a church plant, and I've been a part of now 3 church plants in my life, and I've never seen one this healthy, because this isn't a good idea. This is a God idea. But when you start doing the impossible, it's easy to get caught up. I'm sure Peter's wasn't out there just like jumped on the water and was like, here we go, Jesus. No, he wasn't. He was small steps and waves. He looks back at the guys and they're all like, oh, it was Jesus. They realize in that moment. And then what happens? The waves, he starts realizing I'm not guaranteed. My next paycheck isn't for sure coming. I don't know where I'm, but God, I got this. My systems aren't in place anymore. And he began to sink. And I think this is the most beautiful part about it. See, the passage starts with, they were in great trouble because the wind and the waves were there, crashing into the boat. Sometimes the safest place feels like being on the boat, but I think the safest place is the closest I can get to Jesus. I think the safest place is the closest I can get to Jesus. And even if we start to sink, this is the beauty. He cried out, Lord, save me. And the Father heart of God, the hand of Jesus, reached out and was right there immediately. Pulled him up, and here is the lean in. The beautiful part of it is they walked back, and I imagine that Peter was just hanging on to Jesus like, oh, we're walking on water. Your pants might get a little wet. You might not come out of it all dry, but man, I'd rather be the one that's wet on the boat than the one that's dry in the boat because I had an encounter with Jesus, okay? He doesn't expect you to be perfect. He just wants you to listen. He just wants to see you let go. And I promise you, he's not going to let you sink. He's not going to be there mad at you. What are you doing? I remember when my son, when he was about 10 months old, he was an early walker. And I remember he'd prop himself up on the coffee table, and I'd see him there. I'd say, you want to walk? And I'd get down, and I'd say, come on, Raya. Come on, bud. You can do it. And I remember the day that he took his first couple steps. It was 2 wiggly steps, and then he fell. I didn't come up to him. What are you doing? You big dummy? Stand up. You're not allowed to. No. I was running around everybody I knew. My son just took his first 2 steps. My son just, did you see him? Did you see him? I think all of heaven is rejoicing when we fall. Because Jesus is running around heaven. Did you see the steps that he just took? I know he's going to get back up because I'm right here. I'm picking him up and he's going to keep going. The Father heart of God isn't one that lets you fall and gets down on you. No. It's the one that runs around heaven and says, but did you see the steps? Because I know I have a plan to prosper him. I know that I've got a call on his life. I know that he's going to do incredible things. And I see him cutting from the fullness, and I'm going to add the fruitfulness, and he's going to do extraordinary things in my name. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. If you're here this morning, and maybe the boat is just... for you is a life without Jesus. You've gone your whole life without Jesus and you're experiencing some waves. See, they didn't stay in the water. Jesus actually got back on board and things settled. And maybe you're in a season right now, and I'll just invite you all to bow your head and close your eyes. I'm not going to make you come run to the front or make everybody sing kumbaya over you, no. But maybe you're saying, I'd like to take a step out to meet Jesus and then invite him back on board. Maybe I'd like to see Jesus come into my life because I'm experiencing waves right now. I'm experiencing some doubt. I'm experiencing some fear, and I don't want to miss him. I want to experience everything that he has. I want to live with Jesus in 2019. If that's you, would you just raise your hand this morning? Maybe you have Jesus in your life, but you're just saying this morning, I want to live 2019 when I'm stopping and I'm listening. I'm willing to let go. God, what you tell me to let go, I'll let go. So I can lean into what you have for me. If that's you this morning, will you raise your hand for me? Every head bowed. Yeah. I'm going to pray for us this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you come and find us. When the waves are hitting, God, you come and find us. Lord, we invite you in. Give us the courage, Lord, to step out into what you would call us to, God. Give us the courage to lean into what you'd have for us, God. Give us the discernment to know your voice, God. A passion for your name, Jesus. We just want to be where you are, Lord. There's nothing like you, Jesus.